Do we have liberty in this country right now? We have some Christian parents who have taken their case now to the Supreme Court to intervene because they had Child Protective Services, CPS, come in and remove their child because we have this conflict that has been set up by the courts here in America of children's rights versus parental rights. And this is what this is all rolling out with. But they don't want you to have control over your own children. And they say it out loud. As a matter of fact, look at this questioning of Cardona, who is the Biden administration's head honcho at the Department of Education. Listen to this.
Fairly quick answers here because I want to get to Secretary Becerra. Do you think parents should be in charge of their child's education as the primary stakeholder?
I believe parents are important stakeholders, but I also believe
primary
educators have a role in determining educational programming.
Isn't that amazing? First of all, parents are not stakeholders. God gave children to these parents. Let's stop this stakeholder. Every time I see the stakeholder stuff, I want to take the safety off my gun. This is just, they're holding a gun to our heads and telling us, oh, we'll tell you that you have a stake in this or not. We all have a stake in this. Just amazing. And then you heard what Cardona said. You know, well, I think that educators have a role in the educational programming of children. Hear that? The educational programming of children. Boy, they said it all out loud, didn't they? Teachers are stakeholders as well. Teachers are equal stakeholders. As a matter of fact, they're superior because they can override what the parents want. They're stakeholders in the child's programming, educational programming. Well, so what happened in this particular case? You had Mary and Jeremy Cox now taking this to the Supreme Court after they removed their trans-identified child. This happened in conservative Indiana, or what people think is conservative Indiana. But before we leave where the government thinks it is on all of this stuff. So that was the guy who's the head honcho at the Department of Education. We've now centralized control of curriculum and education into Washington. What an abomination that is. First of all, the community, the village, should not be educating your children. End of story. That means that the state should not be educating. That means the feds should not be educating your children either. And people need to wake up and understand what is going on with this. As Melissa Harris Perry said, you know, we got to get over this notion that children belong to the parents. Well, that's exactly what the Department of Education is saying there. You know, we will be doing the educational programming of your children. You can house them, feed them, clothe them, but we will do the educational programming. And how are they going to do the educational programming? Well, here's, this is a teacher, believe it or not, a teacher on TikTok. Listen to this. She's got a rainbow colored glasses.
Talk about this right-wing idea of parents' rights.
Right-wing idea.
It's literally just fascism.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell, parents' rights means allowing parents to control their kids, even in ways that are harmful to their kids. Obviously, as an educator,
it doesn't.
I believe strongly in the importance of parents and families and other primary caregivers instilling moral.
She throws out a straw man there. Parents get a chance to do this, even if it means harming their kids. No, it doesn't, actually. That's the problem, you know, that CPS was created to solve, but then CPS became an even bigger problem. Yeah, if children are being abused by their parents, now that institution is broken and you need to intervene. Guess what? The school as an institution is broken. The government as an institution is broken, and we need to intervene. But it is not fascism. She is a fascist. She is a fascist. I'm going to tell you what to do. You don't own your kids. We own your kids. I own your kids. And she's got her little rainbow frame colored glasses. But she is a product of this system. And so from the top at the Department of Education, people creating this curriculum, the people who are bribing everybody to do it, because remember, under the 10th Amendment, they can't tell people how to educate kids, but they can certainly get you addicted to their money and then pull it away from you. And that's the way they always do it. That's the way Trump did it with the COVID war on us. And that's the way they do it all the time to get around the 10th Amendment. And so they hire these fascists like her. So the parents are fascists. Look, parents are not perfect. There's no perfect parent out there. They're not all abusive, as she wants to indicate. And the simple fact of the matter is that parents are always going to be a safer bet. You know, you don't have perfection as an option in this world. So what you do is you say, well, who are going to be the people least likely to abuse kids? Well, I think that would be their parents, because typically parents love their children. That's why you have this. But she wants you to believe that somebody that doesn't know the kids, has not seen them grown up, has not fed them and nurtured them from birth, who just now sees them for the first time, that person has their interest at heart and can see to their welfare and another 30 plus kids just like that better than the two parents that God gave them. And so this is the story as told by the people who have been attacked by the Indiana government. And I mean, it is an all of government attack. The entire legal system, from the lower court to the appellate court to the Supreme Court to the Attorney General of Indiana, conservative Republican Indiana, is doing this to this family.
In June of 2021, we unfortunately had to become reluctant warriors when our child was removed from our home after DCS became involved in our family life.
When our son was removed, it was like someone pulled the rug out from underneath us. As a father, I believe one of my main goals is to keep my children safe. And I can't do that when the state comes into our house and takes our kid because we can't, in good conscience, affirm his transgender ideology. His disappearance made a huge hole in our hearts and our family, but we will always love him and pray for him.
Our child was out of our home for 17, 18 months altogether, ultimately aging out of the foster care system. We were able to visit with him at his discretion, basically for about 2 to 3 hours each week. Though we pushed constantly for additional engagement, attended family therapies, we were never able to have an agreement for additional time with him. So as a mom, having limited access to your children is, it's heart-wrenching. I miss his laugh. I miss being with him, talking with him about everyday things, teaching him how to bake, how to cook different things. There's so many things that we are to our children, not just their first teachers, but basically their first loves. And to miss out on that during such formative time in his life, we'll never get that time back. We didn't pursue an affirmational approach with our child because, first, as Christians, we believe God created us as male and female. And as parents, it's our job to help our children to reach their full potential. And the only way we feel to do that is to raise our children through our Christian beliefs.
Secondly, we didn't go with the affirmational approaches because we did a lot of research on this subject. There are many different approaches. We spoke to multiple mental health care providers and ultimately decided that affirmation was not going to help our child.
In our experience, this is not an isolated incident. There are a number of families here in Indiana experiencing the same issues that we've gone through.
Well, let's talk about how this began, because that's missed in all of these articles that I saw about what is happening here. The people who are rightfully coming in on the side of the parents, and a great injustice has been done to them. But when I look at this, it reminds me of the stories that we have about the people who have been severely injured or killed by the jab. And I look at this and I say, if only we could have gotten through to these people about what this is truly about. And if you put your kids in a school, they're going to inject their ideology into them, a poisonous ideology. She said, and she's talking about what happened, and she said, yeah, that they removed the child from our home. And, you know, we were able to get maybe 2 or 3 hours a week with the child, and we tried to get an agreement for additional time, but we couldn't get it. Well, this child was out of your involvement throughout the day for at least 10 years. This kid was 16 years old. And you turn him over to a school, and you didn't have an agreement for additional time. We all fool ourselves by thinking, you know, well, when the kid is at home and in his room doing whatever he wants or sleeping, that's our time with him. It's not. It's not the time that you're engaging with him. As a matter of fact, they're Christians. And we should heed the words of Deuteronomy 6 that says, when you are walking in the way with your child, you know, you explain things to them, you teach them the way of the Lord with it. They miss that opportunity. They're weeping because the last couple of years that the kid has been going through all this, this happened at 16. They put the kid in foster care or whatever, and until the kid became 18, and now the kid is gone. They said, well, you missed out on these formative years. Yes, you did. You missed out on 10 formative years before this stuff happened. They said, well, you know, I was jotting this down as they were talking. We miss being with him. We miss his laugh. Yes, you miss all of that if you put your child in a school, in an institution. That's one of the key things. It's not an easy thing to make that decision, but I don't know anybody who homeschooled their kids who regrets it. And I mean that. I know a lot of people have homeschooled their kids. None of them regret it. They don't regret that they gave up some corporate job so they could hear the laugh of their child, so they could be with their child, so they could instill the values in their child that are going to protect them from this dark world. We were his first love, she said. And yet, they passed the child off to others. And then the child became bonded to that institution, became bonded to their peers at school instead of their siblings at home, became bonded to their teachers or their counselors who told him that he was in the wrong body. Yeah, the formative times of the kids' lives are what we have to look at. And so, again, I feel for them. I'm not saying that they deserved any of this. They don't deserve it. I'm just saying you have to understand what is out there. You have to understand the dangers of the schools, just like you have to understand the dangers of the jabs. And yeah, you can get lucky. You know, you can have people who go through the school system and aren't changed by it. I went through the school system and I regret going through it. I wish that I'd not have my time wasted, and I considered it wasted time. I can't believe I got to sit here with all this stuff. I can't believe that I can't pursue my own interests here. I can't believe, and it wasn't anything like what this is today. I mean, we just had a kid who was failed in his history class because he said women, he said, oh, a couple of questions. Only women can get pregnant. He said, that's true. Another one was, all men have a male genitals. So that's true. And because of that, this kid was fired. Not fired, failed. Same thing, I guess. But, you know, this is where this all begins. And I understand when they take advantage of people's ignorance, and it is an unjust thing, and I certainly, just in the same way as I support people coming after and suing the people who deceived them and who damaged them with a vaccine, I support these people's efforts to get justice for this and to stop it from happening to other people. But we need to understand that we have to have discernment, and we are the front line of protection for our children and for ourselves. So the trial court removed the child from their custody, cited concerns over the child's well-being. Well, what was it that they said they were concerned about? They said, well, the child is self-isolating. In other words, going to his room and pouting is what we refer to this as. And then refusing to eat. I don't know if it's vegetables or whatever, just refusing to eat. So that's the charge from CPS. And they took it to court, and the court said, nah, that's not true. That's as CPS does. CPS exaggerates these things. The court said, no, there is no abuse that is happening here whatsoever. But then the court still gave the kid to foster care. Why did the court do that? Well, again, it goes back to this UN agenda. The UN agenda, the Convention for the Rights of the Child, which is antithetical to parental rights. That's how they use this. They say, well, we're just helping children with their rights. No, you're not. You're denying the rights of the parents to whom the children belong, to whom God gave them, who have the child's best interests at heart, and we understand that more than any temporary bureaucrat that they're going to come in contact with for 9 months of 1 year. The parents are there. And if the parents, again, are abusive, that's a different story. But that's not the case. And even here, after they said there is no abuse, they still took the child away. So the trial court removed the child, even though there was no abuse. Then they appealed to the Indiana Court of Appeals, lost that. They went to the Indiana Supreme Court, which declined to review the case. And so now they are seeking the Supreme Court to intervene here. We have taxation without representation. We have medication without representation. All of these different things, and again, it applies especially with CPS, there's never a presumption of innocence. They don't have to, you have to prove that you didn't do what they accuse you of. And so all these things need to be opposed. And this is not a new fight. This video is 14 years old. I've been fighting this longer than that.
No government, no matter how well-intentioned, can replace the nurturing love of a parent. Yet in the United States, judicial activism and a pending UN treaty are poised to tear apart this most fundamental bond of society. These foreign and domestic threats would undermine the parental role and overrule parental wishes. All parents would have the legal status of an abusive parent, with the state and not the parents deciding what is in the best interest of the child. The relentless encroachment of judges and UN treaties that assume that government, not parents, has the best interest of the child at heart will be stopped by nothing short of a constitutional amendment explicitly stating the rights of parents. Decisions affecting the child should be made by those who know and love that child, not by a distant bureaucracy. You can help protect children by helping those who care the most for them and those who care the best for them, the family. Find out what you can do at parentalrights.org.
I'm delighted to present something born from my love for music and the Christmas season. Christmas night is a perfect accompaniment for anything from family gatherings to moments of peaceful reflection. My hope is to provide a fresh take to the soundtrack of Christmas. This collection of 20 instrumental songs brings new life to timeless Christmas classics. With original orchestrations alongside lesser known yet equally enchanting carols. For the listeners of the David Knight Show, this is more than music. It's part of our shared journey. Christmas Night is available at thedavidknightshow.com. May it bring a little extra joy and peace to your Christmas season. Thank you for your unwavering support.
and for joining me in this new musical adventure. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good Christmas night.